Welcome to all who are attending their very first Central Reunion. We hope you will return often, and of course, a warm welcome home to all who are returning to Central to participate in yet another year of this wonderful tradition that we all treasure. We would like to recognize and sincerely thank our esteemed Reverend Dr. Daniel Rosemurgee for his participation as our minister on this, his 25th year of conducting our service. Thanks also to our organist, Father Corbin Eddy, to Teresa Rekowek for providing flowers to enhance our church, the Keweenaw County Road Commission for road repairs, and the Keweenaw County Historical Society for their ongoing efforts of preserving and promoting this wonderful historic community here at Central. Lastly, I want to thank our incredible choir under the direction of Glenna Irwin, whom this service would not be the same without. As you will notice in your bulletin, Glenna will be stepping down as choir director after this year. We would like to take the time to thank her for her hard work and dedication to our reunion service. Thank an anonymous thimbleberry jam maker who picked thimbleberries here in Central and donated jars of thimbleberry jam, and that donation raised $120 for our reunion service. In your bulletin, there is acknowledgement of the passing of those with a connection to Central. This year, we especially wish to note the passing of Dr. Margaret Bryant Wake and Ruth Mitchell Maynard. Our sympathies to their families who are missing them at this service. My very first Central reunion occurred 41 years ago in 1971. I was a new young bride with no idea of where Central Mine was or why we were driving all night to church here. My husband's family had strong roots here, but I was clueless as to exactly what they were. I was about to learn. By the time our oldest son, John, was born in 1974, I was only just beginning to understand what Central truly meant. That year, we did not make the journey for the reunion, as John was born on the Friday prior to Central. I do recall, however, my father-in-law asking Gary to come anyway, but I insisted his place was with me and our newborn son, and of course I won. However, John, who was named after his great-grandfather who was born, attended school, and worked in the mine in Central, was introduced to Central the following year, and if memory serves me right, has only missed two reunions in his lifetime, not including today's service, as he is at home awaiting the birth of his own child. Each of my other three children has attended Central yearly most of their lives, Michael at the age of 3 weeks. And now my grandchildren have been introduced to and understand how special Central is to our family. To be able to trace your family heritage and understand the connection to this place is a treasure indeed. The connection to Central runs strong not just in my own family, but for many of you sitting here today. I hope that you will continue to instill the love and the history of this place in your families, so that we may continue to fill these pews for years to come. For those that come after us, I pray that they too will treasure Central as we all do. There is no way to explain the deep-rooted feelings that envelop us as we strive to explain and share what we have. I, for one, cannot equate it to anything else in my life. Thank you for making this service a part of your life. At this time, I would like to ask our president, Brian Wake, to step forward for a special presentation.
Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, leaps tall buildings at a single bound. That's all pretty good stuff. But he swims in Lake Superior at daybreak. A bird? No. A plane? No way. Our favorite son? Super Dan. And we have a presentation of a plaque here honoring his 25 years of service at Central Church.
Come home each summer is to return to my roots, to be renewed, to have a sense of the continuing tradition that we have. I'm deeply grateful to you. All of you that I've gotten to know over the years have been such an important part of my life. Let's continue this. Someone going out said, Dan, we hope we're here when you get your 50th year of life. Now, Glenn had got a organ roll. It's time for mine. This will be out in the yard when you're leaving so that you can look at these wonderful pictures going back over that time. The one omission is a picture of our early morning swim. But, thank you so much.
No pressure.
At the first service, when we hugged, Brian said, do remember that we have to start the second service at 11. This time he said, no pressure.
Sorry
about that. At the morning service, someone came in and said, isn't this a gorgeous day? This is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's hear it.
This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And it's in that joy that we remember those who have been a part of the service. I call your attention to your order of service in the bulletin. I hope you will take the time to read the rich, wonderful story of the persons who have passed on. Ruth Mitchell Maynard, a wonderful person who started attending these services at age 12. Margaret Jane Bryan Wake, an amazing woman with a wonderful family that's carried on the tradition. When she was 86, she made it to our morning swim in a period swimming suit.
Oh my.
And she was 86, you said.
Oh my.
There's hope for all of us.
Yeah.
But the report, we had seven people and a photographer this morning. And we stand there, it was a gorgeous morning, at 6:28, the sun comes up over the point, And it's just brilliant. And we're standing on the shore, holding one another's hands. I do a morning prayer thanking us for the opportunity to be together and each of the people coming out. And then my pastoral call was, Cousin Jackson, Jenny's, brace yourself. And in we go. Are there others who we were not aware of who have passed on this past year? Other names you want us to remember? If not, let's take a moment of quiet to remember and give thanks for Ruth Mitchell Maynard and Margaret Jane Bryan Waite and others in your heart. We share the sadness of their passing, but we celebrate their lives and many contributions to Central and to the lives of those who are sitting here. Amen. Now, the other thing that's so moving about this tradition is the number of descendants of people who lived and worked here. Although everyone is welcome of whatever faith, come and share this time together. But let's call out the names, family names of those who lived and worked here. Starting with the choir.
Rowan Thomas.
Yendo and Nan Curvis.
On this side of the sanctuary.
Axford.
Satterlin.
Rosemary and Rule.
Benalvin.
Over here.
Owens.
Ed.
Brian.
Colin.
Nichols.
Hayes and Dick.
John and Mary Patsy.
True Girl.
Hawkins.
What a wonderful legacy. I think I'm going to write a litany about those names at some point, because they need to be remembered. They're very much a part of us. But it occurs to me, we hear them one at a time. I want everyone who mentioned the family name on the sign to shout it out together. Ready? One, two, three.
Nichols!
Wow. How wonderful. How wonderful. We're going to start our worship service this morning with All Creatures of Our God and King, number 65 in the hymnal. We invite you all to rise in body or spirit as we sing the first four verses of All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
have a good amen on the end of that, Corbin. I invite you to remain standing for the invocation and the Lord's Prayer. Let's be at prayer together. O Creator Spirit God, we sense your presence in our world and our lives. We raise our voices this morning in gratitude for all our blessings and for the Mother Earth and the beauty of creation. We sing hallelujahs in chorus with the music of the spheres, of flowing waters and rushing winds, sailing clouds and sun and moon, fruit and flowers. We sing in praise of this central hillside and those memories and stories of all who lived and worked these mines. We hold this place and their stories sacred and ask that you open us in new ways to your loving and creative spirit as we worship. And it's in that spirit that we share the words and vision of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated, please. We invite children, youth, or the young at heart to come forward for a few minutes together. If you'll just sit down here on the floor. It's been cleaned by the board. Spotlessly cleaned. It's wonderful to have you here. When I was a little boy, I used to come to these services, and I'd walk the hillside, sort of explore Central. Tell me your name and where you're from so that we all know who we are. Molly from Birmingham, Michigan. Eddie, come on up. Don't be shy. There are going to be currant cookies at the end. And your names? Ryan from Birmingham. Juliana, Calumet. Let's go back. Billy from Calumet. How about back here? Can someone help with the names? They're sort of looking at me. We're going to get you smiling before this is over. Let's come this way. Your name? Caitlin. You'll be smiling and you'll know your name. So, this is such a wonderful time together. There's been a demand to bring back the kazoo choir. And I'm going to pass these out. We had so many children in the first service, we may be a little short. But if you'll just take a kazoo, and the rest of you will have a chance to sing. That's what I like, enthusiasm. Okay, do you know how to play a kazoo? You hum in it. Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Okay. You know Jesus loves me? This I know. Okay. Corbin's going to hit. We've got some backup here.
Jesus loves me. Jesus,
to take home to remember the service. And some of you already have several at home, and these come from the Delaware Mine as a donation to us. So let me pass these around and pick one each. This morning we had we had a couple dig in there and thought, "Ooh, which one do I want?" And then this couldn't be complete without a Cornish currant cookie. So here we go. This is for you, and you can also take the kazoos as long as you don't play them when I'm preaching. So be sure you play currant cookie, and we have plenty here, so you're welcome to take some to those that might be sitting around.
This bodes well for the money.
Having our children with us and being a part of our celebration and worship is so important. I hope you're doing that in a real way in your congregation, because these are the children. They are the future. They are the future of this wonderful tradition and service. I always tell folks in the congregation, every child should be known by the people in the congregation. So I want all the people to go out, introduce themselves to children, to youth, spend some time over lunch talking with them. It's amazing what you're going to learn. Whether you want to know or not. Thank you for coming. It's wonderful to have you. We hope you'll come again next year. Okay? Last evening I sat during the choir rehearsal and was just in awe that this choir comes together from all over the country under the wonderful leadership of Glenna and Jim helping and Corbin, and in a few rehearsals put this music together as a gift to us for the service. So I'm just so delighted to present the Central Choir.
Thank you.
they wonderful? I just to hear them each time they sing is to be deeply moved, to feel the spirit in this place. All our scripture readings today are going to speak of the way in which God is present with us all the time. And leading the responsive reading, the eternal presence, in most hymnals, page 566, is Connie Martin.
O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me.
Thou knowest my fasting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off.
Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways.
For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether.
Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it.
Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence?
If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, thou art there.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me.
Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee.
How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them.
If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts.
See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Thank you, God. May these readings be blessed to our understanding. And now the moment we all wait for. Jan and I have been in hymn sings in Cornwall. We've sung the Diadem there. But I'll tell you, it doesn't compare to Central on Sunday morning. So we invite those who are able to stand to do so as we all sing together the Diadem. 164, it's the third tune. 164, the third tune. I invite you to stand in body or spirit. The choir sings the third verse. It's wonderful to hear them, but I've decided since I don't get to sing the third verse, I'm going to join the choir next year. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Bring forth the glory.
Let the congregation shout Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. As I said, the scriptures this morning are going to be sharing the presence of God in our lives in all that we do. And the first scripture reading is from Exodus, the wonderful story of the burning bush and Moses, and reading that for us at Casey's Point.
Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of God appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And Moses looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When God saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then God said, Do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And God said, I am the God of your ancestor, the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Isaac and Rebekah, and the God of Jacob and Rachel and Leah. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God.
And now from the sacred writings of the early Christian community. Much of Jesus' life and teaching occurred in the outdoors, walking through the hillside, alongside the Sea of Galilee, in people's houses. There was a wonderful sense of the sacred in each of those moments. From Matthew 15, feeding the 4,000, Jesus was out teaching, and 3 days had gone by, and Jesus was concerned with all the people there that they wouldn't have enough to eat, and asked, what do we have that we can share? And they brought the loaves and fish. Jesus broke it, gave thanks, passed it out, and all were filled. I think the miracle is it was the first gathered church potluck. People shared what they had with those around them. For the first time, you have this sense of community. What I have, I'm willing to share with you so that we can all be fed. Jesus often would talk in parables. In this case, taken from Mark, the parable of the sower, he's got crowds around him and he tries to get a bit back, so he goes into a boat and he's speaking from the boat. And he started to talk about these parables, and the one he has here is the seed, planting a seed. And it's on some level simple, but it's so true for our lives. You drop the seed on a rock, you drop the seed in thorns, it's not going to grow. If you drop it in good soil, it will grow as you nurture it and bring it to harvest. And then a wonderful scripture of Jesus going down the road, and people are flocking to see him, and Zacchaeus, who's small of stature, and I've always identified with him because I was short of stature. But he's climbed a sycamore tree, and Jesus saw him up there, and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I want to go to your house. You know, this is wonderful. I'll invite myself to your house. And then finally, John 2, the wedding at Cana. The third day there was a wedding and in Cana of Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and the disciples had also been invited to the wedding. I do a lot of weddings, and I very often will start with this. I think Jesus loved to celebrate love and be at this kind of event. They had run out of wine, and Jesus filled the 6 stone water jars with water, and as they were poured again, it became fine wine. All of these sacred moments, God present in the lives day to day. We want to hang on to that because God is not just here, certainly here, but God is with us wherever we go. I love to celebrate with singing, and particularly spirituals, and I'm going to invite the quartet to come on down. and we're going to sing I've Got Peace Like a River. And I want you to get ready now. Once we get this moving in the fourth verse, we're going to invite you to sing too. Sense of the flow of the breath in and out. Part of our faith is being in touch with who we are as God's children. When Jesus came out of the waters having been baptized, a voice from the heavens said, "You are my beloved child." I feel that every day. For all the children I baptize, I hear that voice, "You are my beloved child." Each of you is a beloved child of God. Let's pray. Oh God, we pause again to feel your spirit of life within us and flowing through this congregation as we sing. We pause for a time of meditation and prayer, a time of quiet and turning inward to the sacred within each of us. We give thanks for the legacy of those who built and created their lives here at Central. We give thanks for the ways their living and their faith has filled and guided our lives. In their memory, we lift up our prayers for the now extended Central family spread throughout this country and the world, many here in this sacred space and many others present in spirit. So we enter now into a time of spoken and silent prayer for those who are ill and in need of healing and wholeness. For those who have experienced separation or loss. For those who are alone and in need of companionship. companionship. For those facing difficult life circumstances are in need of courage and strength. And for those struggling to find their way in life, who are in need of comfort and guidance. We ask, O God, that you help each of us to respond to these needs around us through acts of caring, encouragement, and presence. Finally, lead each of us to be a part of creating peaceful, just, and inclusive communities where we live and around the globe. Amen. And now, worship experts say that you should be involved as a congregation at least 11 times. We're working on it. There's more to come. Now, one of the ways you can really... here they are. One of the ways you can really become a part of this congregation is to participate generously in this offering. It is the way we support this congregation. It's the way we support this facility, and a work has to be done to maintain it in this condition. The board of directors is deeply involved in this. We need your generous support. Give of what you have, what you can have that you're comfortable with. But also, I would ask you to note the preservation fund. You may want to give an additional gift to the preservation fund, or to leave central in your will. It's important that we have the money to carry on this tradition well into the future. So we're grateful to you. Those who have been here before know these offering boxes were made in the wood shop. You would hear the little coins rattling in it. Just fill them up. I now, with your checks and bills, they'll fill up quickly, and so the ushers will have to take your money and stuff it into their pocket. I was a little alarmed at the first service where we were about to do the doxology, and I thought the gifts would come forward, and I saw the ushers going down the road. I didn't know whether I should send someone out there or not. But if the ushers would come forward and people in the back keep an eye on them, and we'll hear the wonderful choir again, Simple Gifts of God. different ways to Glenna and Jim. How grateful we are for their service to the congregation and the gift of music that they can bring. They've received cards, gifts, but the choir would also like to share this gift this morning.
"'Tis a simple gift given in great gratitude for your passion, your understanding. You have been a gift to us all. Thank you."
Jim stand up with us. And Jim, reporter, who puts all the music together. Gone already. I'm gonna have to get up to speed on this. I like to at least see it and pray about it. but it's gone. But that doesn't mean we can all give thanks. We invite you to stand in body or spirit as we sing the doxology. And as those that have been here before know, most congregations regrettably sing the doxology like it's a dirge, a funeral dirge. No, no, no. This is a song of praise and thanksgiving, so let's really hear it. Comfortable to take it off. If in the next few minutes I do that, it's because I'm really getting into it here. I also want to give thanks to the Manderfields for balloons again. You see the one that's welcome, and then to you all, you're very special. This is a unique congregation coming together every year. Many of you coming from across the country, coming year after year after year. Many of you here for the first time. We welcome you warmly in the spirit of love and community. We hope you come back to be a part of this ongoing tradition, to feel this hillside come alive. As many times as I've done this, I am thrilled coming up that hill. And when I hear the bell tolling, calling us to worship, to be together, to sing praise, I'm just thrilled. I'm just absolutely thrilled. It is a sacred time for me. I carry it with me in the year ahead. And I hope when you leave this place today, you will be so moved with the sense of the Spirit and what's possible in gathering for worship, which should always be a celebration. Alfred Nichols, many of you know, in his autobiography, The Story of My Life, talks about Central and the scenes. He comes back to visit frequently. And in this part of his autobiography, he talks about the Central Mine reunion services. It goes on in great detail. If you can get the book, read it, because it takes you there again. It's just so wonderful. But then he talks about the service, and he continued to sing in the choir, and this is what he said. "As I sit in the choir and listen to the strong, soulful singing of hymns, my heart is strangely touched. In my memory, I hear the voices of some of my old pals, and I wonder if it's possible any of these old patriarchs long since passed on, could possibly be listening in? My answer to that is absolutely. We're part of the community of saints. And their spirits live on, we feel them, and it becomes a part of who we are. Alfred Nicholas says, how charmingly simple is the sacred service. How charmingly simple is the sacred service. This morning, and then we may get into afternoon a little bit. I want to reflect on that, the sacred in the ordinary, to share the ways I find the sacred ordinary each moment and day of my life. I mentioned in the first service, a favorite author of Jan and myself is Sue Monk Kidd, who did The Secret Life of Bees, The Mermaid Chair. She was asked by Guy Potts to collect her very early spiritual inspirational writings. And she said, oh, I was so young then. I was so young then. She didn't want to quite look at it. But she finally got back and she started to look at her life journey, her spiritual journey to find her faith. We should all do that, by the way. I do a seminar, a workshop in the congregation called Remembering Your Story, Spiritual Autobiography. And it is amazing. So many people just don't have the chance to tell their story, to go back and think about their life and talk about why it meant so much and who the people were and ways in which you become who you are. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. But anyway, one of the things she said, she was sitting in church one Sunday, and she felt religiously void. Burned out. Has that happened? Anyone here? I don't want that to happen today. If this is the first time you felt burned out, don't get up. But, you know, all too frequently across the United States, we come together to worship, and it's not worship. It's not worship. To come to worship is to have a sense of what she then set out to find. She went to a retreat center. I love retreats. Is that time to come away? To find solitude and quiet? To turn everything off? iPads, your tablets, your smartphones. I didn't turn this down to low. I love this, but there are times to turn it off. And she found in that three-day retreat a time of quiet and solitude that she had not experienced in her busy life. She found a sense of the beloved presence in her life. She went back on a Monday to her family. And suddenly, that feeling quickly went away. She had to get the kids up, make their lunch, to get them off to school. She had to do grocery shopping. Then she had to come home and clean, and she had to do bills. I guess I would say, where was the husband and all that? But she just felt overwhelmed, and she said, I felt the absolute absence of God. So she went off. This was a Monday, and she went to her church. Ever try to go to a church on Monday? Many churches are just locked up. And she knocked and knocked and knocked, and finally a custodian came and said, what are you doing here? Church was yesterday. Our sanctuary should be open for people to come in and have quiet time. Our meditation, memorial gardens need to be there for all of us, you, to come for those quiet times away. We need those. But she went into the sanctuary, and the custodian was big commercial vacuum cleaner. She looked around, and she said, this doesn't seem very sacred to me. Doesn't seem very sacred to me. And she said, even the stained glass windows don't do much for me today. She left, and she decided then and there that she was going to start a journey to find ways to feel the presence of God in her life every day. She said, I had allowed a hard duality, that the only place I could worship was the church. And she said, I wanted to find that I can worship every day. I can feel the presence of God every day. So she started journaling. If you haven't journaled, try journaling. It's a wonderful way to look at yourself. And anyway, she started journaling. And she recalled this story of going out, sort of being pressured to go out with the kids and her husband to fish. So they got off to the woods, a little sandy trail. She was not sure of this, but everyone got into fishing except herself. She just grumbled. She said, look at the weather, it was muggy. The kids had given up fishing and they were sliding down mud banks. She had a handle for them, the worms, and she said, they're worms. And I said this morning, creatures, creatures of the earth. So she said, she had to make an escape. So she decides to go back and leave them all there. And as she was going down the trail, she looked down in the sand, and she suddenly saw her husband's tennis shoe footprints. And mixed with that were the children's bare feet. And then with all of that was her sandal. And she said, I was so overwhelmed suddenly. I don't know where it came from. I was just so overwhelmed that I was alive. I was thankful for my family. I was just so moved. I was grateful. And I suddenly opened myself to the fact that the sacred is in small blessings of life. And I clipped what she then wrote. She wrote, the most significant gifts are often the ones most easily overlooked. We all do it. Small everyday blessings, woods, health, music, laughter, memories, books, family, friends, second chances, warm fireplaces, and all the footprints scattered through our days. All the footprints scattered through our days. To suddenly open yourself to the fact that those are sacred footprints makes all the difference in the world. I want to comment just briefly because I'm deeply troubled by this sense of the duality between the institutional church and places of worship and our life, our mundane holy life. Mean. There's a separation here that I think is troubling. Regrettably, many people come to church to worship, but they're not ready to worship. They don't come expecting something to happen in the worship service. They're going to be entertained. They just sit, let it all happen to them. Not going to happen when I'm around. I want everyone into the worship sense. I want people to come with their sense of the Spirit, bringing it to worship so that we can share it with one another in our singing, in our confessing our humanness, that we can respond out of forgiveness and reconciliation, that we, in fact, can go out into the world having heard the word, reflecting on it, and recommitting ourselves. That's what should happen in a worship service. If you're not renewed, if you don't feel a new sense of commitment to go out and live your faith, something is seriously wrong. I love the gathered church. And I want this to be very clear. I don't want you going anywhere saying, Dan doesn't like the gathered church. I love it. I need the gathered church. I've worshipped in cathedrals. I've worshipped in log huts. I love the sense of the opportunity to be together with caring people, creating a caring community, lifting up our voices in song, sharing in worship, responding to one another's needs. In our worship service, we have a sharing of joys and concerns. We light a candle. That's community. Many congregations go, I want to know what's happening in the lives of members of our church family. And I say to people when that's over and I light a candle that all those joys, those concerns, the heartache, the celebration become mine. I'm thinking about those. I'm thinking about the people all during the week. And I want everyone to take the time to send a card, to make a call, to be mindful that we're community, that we are sharing in the Spirit to support one another. And to do that, it seems to me, you have to carry the Spirit and the sacred with you in your life 7 days a week. Because if you don't, and you go to church and nothing happens, you leave, there's no scattered church. I love the scattered church. I want to know what people in our congregation are doing in their lives, in their communities. Does it make a difference that you are a believer? Does it make a difference to you in the way you treat other people, in the way you love and care for people, in the way you make decisions in the boardroom? I had a group of young professionals say, "Dan, we hear what you're saying, but this is tough. This is tough stuff. To be out there in the real world trying to live my faith, and the bottom line is, don't worry about it. We'll take a certain level of risk." Well, not me. I'm going to speak up. Now, I may lose my job. I've done that once before in my first career. But, look, if we don't speak up, who's going to speak up? If we don't say, we need to create loving, caring communities, we need to treat one another in love, who's going to? Who's going to? Well, I'll tell you. As you look at the scriptures, so much happened day to day in the life of Jesus in the early Christian community. So much happened in the Hebrew scriptures. Didn't occur in the temple or synagogue. It occurred in the wilderness. It occurred in gatherings together as people of Israel search. I want to suggest that the same kind of thing has happened here at Central. In reading Alfred Nickus, this whole sense of wherever he is, Sarvi Day, he was recalling this is a day of coming together for contracts for the miners, and you would do your best deal, but there was a time of being together. And he commented that he found that whole experience that day to be a sacred experience. Because money was who the people were. Supporting the family was who they were. Sacred times, the scattered footprints in their lives. Alfred Nichols recognized that. You ought to finish a day looking back at it and say, that was a sacred day. He talks about down under mine, you know, they would have a gathering place where they would smoke or tether off, tell stories. But most of the conversations occurred about the sermon. Was it a good sermon? Was it not a good sermon? Were there 3 points? Were there 5 points? They would talk about the choir and the singing and some of the hymns. Wow, you can't not say this is sacred time as they share their life. There's another wonderful remembrance of going deep into the ground and the miner just paused with the dripping of water and the cavernous, and said, wow, my underground cathedral. My underground cathedral. You all have cathedrals in your life. Open yourself to them. Times when you sit and you remember that God is there. I'm going to suggest three things in the few minutes I have left, but be first. And let me tell you what they are. Out of this, I want to encourage all of us to deepen and broaden our understanding of the sacred. Get over that the sacred and the holy is only found in church. It is found there if you bring something to it. But the reality is that the sacred occurs in the ordinary events of our life. I believe that. When I get up in the morning, I'm ready. The story of Moses, I love. It draws your imagination. But the two things I want you to recall from that story is God saying to Moses, you are standing on holy ground. Take your sandals off. And then as Moses sort of debated about whether he was the right person to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, God assured him, he would go with him. Those are the two things, and I want each of us to hear that proclamation as if it came to us from the voice of God. Jeff, you are standing on holy ground, and wherever you go, you're on holy ground. And wherever you go, I'll be with you. I am will be with you. I believe that. I go through some tough stuff as ministers, in hospitals, in home conflict. I never lose the confidence that wherever I am, it's holy ground. And wherever I am, God is with me. The minute you believe that, the way you live is going to change. It's going to change. We get up every morning. I do my morning affirmations, calling God into my life. That's the way to start. It's going to change your life. And even when things are going bad and they're rough and you're irritated at something going on, step back. I was saying this morning, there's a pulmonary doctor at Vanderbilt came to me and he said, I just can't take it anymore. The pressures are too great. I'm going from 5:30 in the morning to the middle of the evening. I can't take it. What do you want me to do? I said, what I want you to do is take 15-minute quiet time every afternoon. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Put it on your calendar. Tell your nurses you're going to see doctors. Where am I going to do it? I don't know. Find a quiet place. Go. He found a little courtyard. Every afternoon, he took his break, 2:30, and he went out there for quiet time, and I helped guide some meditation time, some breathing, some quiet, some solitude. He came back a couple of weeks later and he said, it has changed my life. It never even occurred to me to take that quiet time for myself. Never occurred to me to say, God, be with me in all this. This is tough stuff. Give me a sense I'm on holy ground. Give me a sense that you're with me. Okay. So that's one. Deepen, broaden your definition of the sacred. Two, open yourself to the sacred every day. And then three, when you really don't find it, find a quiet place. Go away. Go on retreat. Decide you're just going to be alone for a period of time. Do your meditations. Do your reading. Now, to help me, I'm going to call the, and for you, hopefully, the quartet come down. Spirit of the Living God. Oh, it's down there. Okay. Music to me just, you know this, and once we go through it once, I'm going to ask you to join. I sing this to myself. Here we go. Thank you. I just want to close quickly with a couple things from a blog. How many blog? Come on, folks. This is a blog by Steve Gibbons on faith, history, and creative life. He was out walking, and the only thing he did wrong in my mind was he was listening to music on his iPod. That just, I guess everyone their own. But when I walk at Radnor Lake, I want to listen to the birds. I want to listen to the wind through the trees. But he was listening to a song, and it hit him so hard. It was by Carrie Newcomer, and the name of it was Holy as the Day is Spent. Grab hold of that. Holy as the day is spent. And the words of the song, holy is the place I stand to give whatever small good I can, the empty page, the open book, redemption everywhere I look. He listened to that music and he said, wow, I've got to rethink everything I did today. And he started thinking about it. He had gone to a farmer's market and a little six-year-old girl, and she sold him beans and corn. Hadn't thought anything at the time. Suddenly he felt this connection to the earth. He went along and he said, well, the next thing I went to a hospice and a 98-year-old friend of mine was there. We spent the entire afternoon sharing memories. And then he said, I went home and for the first time there was a sense of the sacred as I prepared the corn and the beans. And he played the song again. Holy is the dish and drain, the soap and sink, the cup and plate, and the warm wool socks and the cold white tile, shower heads and good dry towels. And frying eggs sound like psalms, with a bit of salt measured in my palm, is all a part of a sacrament as holy as the day I spent. Go with a sense of sacred in your life. Recognize the sacred all around you. And if you need to get away, go create some sacred time. Remember, you're standing on holy ground, and God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn, Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. Wonderful to have you here this morning. We'll hope you'll come back the last Sunday of July 2013. Bring the Spirit with you. This has been a sacred time for all of us. filled with song and prayer and reflection and voices of this unique congregation. Let's go carrying that spirit and open to the sacred in our lives wherever we are, in the sacred places, in the sacred moments, in the sacred ordinary. Go with God's grace in your heart, Christ's peace in your soul, and the Spirit's joy filling your life every day again and again. Amen and shalom. The plaque is going to be out in the yard, and would love to have you come look at the pictures.